Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, a world-building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today, we will be discussing magical forests, from the dark forest in Harry Potter to most of the forests in Narnia to
the Entwood.
The Entwood, good save. To the Mirkwood in Lord of the Rings, to every forest, apparently, in Lord of the Rings. Magical forests have been
everywhere. You know it.
They're a staple.
They're like in fairy tales, they're in children's stories, they're in fantasy, they're in...
They're great, they're fun, I love
they're
them.
They're in like folk stories and like sometimes they're dark and scary, sometimes they're light and magical, everything in between.
Sometimes they're light and magical and that's what makes them dark and scary. Like in Irish mythology when you should be very careful of a friendly looking thing offering you a deal and asking your name. Never tell a fae your name.
Fun fact, one of my ancestors is an Irish folk hero.
Really?
Like they have a Wikipedia page for this folk hero. And I wanted to use that to see if I can get Irish citizenship. That is not enough of a grounds. I didn't apply, but.
Why not? You should.
Just be like, hey, I'm a descendant of this folk hero.
Try
even though I don't have much connection to this country at all.
See if it works.
Maybe. We'll see. Anyway, so magic forests, you get it. You understand. We all get it.
Menu, Kyle.
Problematic blood activation.
Bloody pirates.
What's your menu?
Is this just real life? Is this just fantasy?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm curious about this blood that you speak of, because how are you going to take a magic forest and make it bloody, Kyle? What are you going to do to the forest?
This is a forest.
What are you going to do to the forest, Kyle?
Doesn't grow normally.
Uh-huh.
It only grows, and it grows significantly when blood is spilt in the forest, and the soil will absorb that blood, and that's how the trees are like fed. Like they are not absorbing water in the same way. Water is useless to them. It keeps them from dying, but it doesn't help them grow. They only grow really from blood.
Are the plants alive and conscious of this fact, and do they have...
All plants are alive.
Are they conscious, sentient, and do...
No.
Okay. So it's not like magic plants that are trying to lure people in as food.
Correct. It is the people who live near the forest who are luring people in there.
But why do they need the forest?
Because the forest produces food. Because they have fruit trees.
Got it.
They have lumber.
Got it.
They have like fauna. Like they have benefits from the forest. And they want the forest to succeed.
Is it a Wicker Man sacrifice thing, or do people knowingly do this, or is this like when someone's hit 90 years old, you're like, okay, well, you go to the forest now.
That's what we'll discuss right now. Because I think it works as like a place where they say all violence will take care. Because people don't have to necessarily die if they just like bleed.
Oh, I didn't realize I was doing that, but you're right, I was focusing it only on death. Yeah.
And so like if you are gonna have like a fight, say you got a local crime people say, well, we only fight in the forest because we want to at least make sure that our blood is not spilled for nothing. It helps provide for us.
It's interesting.
So you've got that. You could have it where there are sacrifices. And I think that's kind of fundamental for me. I think that should be there. Is that like, because you can create a lot of weird dynamics of we do sacrifices in this forest to keep the forest growing.
Yeah, like it's a hyper awareness of the food chain. It's like,
yeah,
everyone all meat eaters should kill their own meal at least once.
Yeah,
just to be hyper aware of it,
so you can get some of that. And then it can be luring in your enemies as a trap. And
that I think is fun.
Like you have people invading. Well, you bring them to the forest that you know really well because you do a lot of violence in that forest.
So yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it is home territory to another level.
This is a great place for a big ass tree to grow.
Absolutely.
This is a great place for a big ass tree to grow.
Yeah. And I think
a big ass tree kind of completes this forest actually.
Because they're all gonna be kind of big ass trees.
Yeah.
And there's like the oldest tree.
Right. Is the big ass tree.
Okay, so yeah, like let's go. So like with the origin story of this forest, I think it works as like there's a big ass tree at the center of it all. And that big ass tree like drops some acorns that seeded the rest of this forest in the same way. Where like the original tree was like a witch created it, or like cursed a regular tree.
Yeah, or like cursed someone who into becoming a tree, like very Greek myth style.
Yeah, and so then there's this one lone tree where there wasn't a forest, but that tree like had enough blood on it that day that it planted some other trees, and then people like it became this like, you know, whatever, like a place people would go and fight or something. All right, a few people were killed there, and it started to grow and become this place. And then they started to click that, oh, blood helps this thing.
Right. So then, maybe over time, it's like because it's a magical plant, like that element of it, you know, cross-pollinated into other plants or something, right? Like,
yeah, so it's like there's some variety in the forest, but like it's definitely...
It's the staple food.
Yeah, it's this. But then this big-ass tree is now real fucking big.
Yeah.
Because... it's growing aggressively. Any of it's growing aggressively when there is blood.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, it'll grow in a week. It's like you watch it grow.
Yeah, yeah. It
like,
happens.
If you stare at it, you will see the bark start to like shift and expand. Yeah. And like you can see like new buddings happening.
If you try and cut a tree down, does it bleed?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Good question.
That's a tone question. It doesn't have to. It's not like plants. If you cut into a plant, it's all water. Like it becomes sap. But it's a question.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make it too dark.
But you could.
You could. Like I didn't make it like it's a bloody forest. I'm making it's a forest that is fed blood.
Yeah.
And grows, and the implications that has on humans around it. Not
what
a place
do they
that
produce
people...
blood oranges,
pomegranates. I. Like, yeah, because, like, it's so obvious how you make this really dark and creepy, and you just make it a force that is sentient and is out for blood and feeds on blood, and they need blood to survive and all that. And then you have, like, a vampiric force. And that's also wild and kind of fun, but...
Particularly if... So I have two thoughts. One, the phrase vampiric force got me thinking, added a whole new thought, which is, what if you had to be very careful of how... Like, this was a very nutrient-dense food. Like, this was an incredibly... rich food, but you had to be careful of how much you ate of it, because you then run the risk of becoming vampiric yourself. And so there's a group of people that actually live in the forest that have just become full vampires, but they also can still eat the fruit of the blood trees. Storyline number one. Storyline number two, blood donations. Like super, like you could just have societal wide, like, yeah, every month everyone goes and gives, you know, gives a pint, and then they just irrigate the forest with it. And maybe they've learned to cultivate it that way.
The vampire fruit thing, very interesting. I like that. I like that. I like an opportunity to take a concept that is like traditionally viewed as like evil.
Yeah.
And then make it where like, well, they can just be independent and cool.
Yeah.
Like they don't need to it. They don't need to kill you. Like they can.
They might if you wander in and they're, you know, it's a drought or something. But
yeah, but
and that could be an interesting storyline. Like if there's, you know, say like there's a population decline.
Yeah,
and so the forest isn't able to grow as much, and so yeah, maybe some of the vampiric tribes start like wandering out.
Yeah, yeah,
that and could hunting.
Be. Yeah,
because they have to.
Could be really cool.
It's not, and again, like it's not evil. It's more of like a climate change metaphor, you know, like the displaced bears like wander into the town and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and
all vampiric bears, cocaine bear.
But I think the second idea is very cool for like with this the core concept of the forest. Just like having an understanding that like you can just donate some blood that. There are farmers who don't do anything except for periodically go donate their blood.
Yeah.
So then you have a whole, it's maybe you don't even have farmers. So then the whole town, the whole society is doing other stuff. And like take any fantasy world where like it's traditionally quite agrarian.
Mm-hmm.
So most people are just farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, let's bring in some real world stuff of like when
do you know a lot about agriculture?
None. Huh. But like, when people stopped being, when farm labor becomes less of a need and people start doing like city jobs, you have a lot of economic diversification and growth.
Yeah.
So like this town starts developing new technology and becomes like a super town.
Yeah.
Like they get all this like metalworking and like all this magic and shit that they've done because like basically no one has to farm. They have they have an unlimited food supply.
Yeah.
in like it might not be the like, and you know, maybe they still like raise some cattle or chickens or something.
Or they raise them, but they also use some of them for blood donation themselves.
Yeah.
Or maybe even they, you know, yes, they do thrive off of blood, but maybe they can. I like what you said about blood makes them grow faster. Maybe they can still grow with water, but it takes like 10 times as long.
Maybe.
And like way more abnormally long than even our normal earthbound.
Or maybe just like
planting and growing cycle.
Okay, so because like even if it just grew at the normal speed, but if you could just grow it instantly with blood, then like it doesn't even matter. So like we can throw out the like the water thing, kind of irrelevant, I think.
Yeah.
It's really like just about like that you hand wave.
Yeah.
The blood is what matters.
I like what you said though about them having people developing like different societal jobs as a result. And I now suddenly have this vision in my head and it's super fucked up, but someone sitting at an office job, it comes to their lunch hour, they have a potted plant on their desk, they prick their finger, squeeze a couple drops in, grows instantly and produces just one piece of fruit that they then eat for lunch.
That's not enough of a lunch, but
no, but you know, yeah, that, but like
it's an interesting image. I like it.
Yeah,
yeah, because like also to bring in the agriculture side of it as well, like it wouldn't be enough of a diverse food source, and like nutritionally, so like they probably would also.
That's why I said like a staple food.
Well, then it's like they go and they from a nearby place that like, oh, these are beans. I'd never heard of beans before, and they bring the beans and they like cross pollinate. They like cross these beans with this blood somehow. It's like they're different species, but they figure it out through magic where they're like, well, now we have beans that we can grow in this way.
Sure.
And then we also like have figured out how to grow wheat or rice in this way. Like, imagine a rice paddy, but it's just a blood.
Yeah. No, like, well, like that's what I was just, blood. I was thinking, like, blood irrigation. Like, that phrase was kind of rolling around in my head of, like, if you did have enough population, enough of the population donating, then, yeah, you could theoretically have, like, a blood reservoir.
Well, okay,
and then irrigate, and you could have agriculture this way. So there is still the forest, and maybe that's how this got started, but you could have blood farms.
Okay, what's...
Really, also, we're just learning here that in world building, if you put blood in or around any other normal word,
it's kind of fun.
It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay. Now take out the farm part, and let's keep the like blood irrigation. You talked about like they might grow animals for this purpose as well. Mm-hmm. Like the image of a meat locker where you just have a hanging meat.
Mm-hmm.
They are just hanging up goats and like other animals that they have like they have grown and slaughtered, and they're just hung up in the forest in different places like constantly. So you walk through the forest and there is just like corpses like just dangling in the trees, but not in a way that meant to be menacing, just like this is practical.
Yeah,
we're bleeding them out into the forest.
Yeah,
and that will provide the nutrients that we need, like that provides for us. So like you walk through the forest and you're like, oh, there's like some evil witch that lives here. Like there's a
you
bunch
have
of
no idea. You,
and, like, there's a goat with its throat cut, like dangling, or like a decapitated goat corpse hanging from this tree. Oh, there's another one over there. Oh, there's another one over there. What the fuck is this place?
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, that's just like, they're just irrigating.
Hmm. It's one of those things that, yes, it sounds very dark and macabre, but you're also like, no, this is...
It's not that dark.
It's
look
it's,
at a modern day slaughterhouse. You
right? Heathens. Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, this is. And I was also thinking a lot. I mean, I was thinking of, and I was also thinking, this is very appropriate for like kosher butchery, because you do have to drain it completely. You have to drain the animal completely of the blood, in order for you know that's part of the requirements for something to be considered fully kosher. And like this is a great way to facilitate that, or to explain the need for
I'm
that.
Thinking of interesting ways to apply this into a world that's like urban fantasy of
but that's why I'm thinking like the office with like the pricking the finger and like doing that
This concept works well with urban fantasy. It does.
No, it works well as a foundation for a growing society. You could trace this civilization from start to finish using the blood, plants, the cross-pollination, and trace it from you know, hunter gathering to modern agrarian to modern urban fantasy.
Yeah.
And then have it be the same society.
And
or the same civilization.
Bringing it back from the agriculture side of it to the like the cultural side of it. Of I just want to like give another mention of I think we've mostly finished this bowl of the sacrifices and creating this like it's an interesting holy space.
Yeah,
like at the foot of the big ass tree, the big ass blood tree.
Yeah,
the big bloody tree. I don't know that. Like, this is a common place where they sacrifice people. Like, they might be...
The bloody beach.
Like, you might be going to, like, neighboring villages or something. Like, you're going places and you're kidnapping people to bring them to the big-ass tree.
If you need to, sure.
To blood sacrifice them.
Yeah.
Like...
The Crimson Cedar.
Yeah. You can create a lot of, like leaning into the dark side of this, of, yeah. like... How they're luring people in as like you know, like strangers on the road who really need a place. And if you're like, oh, well, you kind of suck.
Yeah. Super Wicker Man.
We're going to take you to the big ass tree.
Yeah.
And we're going to sacrifice you. And then they, like some of them are like no big deal because they need to make sure the village isn't feared by everybody. But like.
You need enough plausible deniability. So you can't do it too often. And then you get murder mysteries and blood magic for good.
Yeah, but please see Blood Magic for Good, an old episode.
Blood Detectives.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but yeah, that could be cool. It was actually written about a year ago, I think.
Yeah, well, more than a year ago, I think. I don't know. But anyway, so I think that is the end of that idea. So, Ethan.
Is this just real life? Is this just fantasy? My
caught in a landslide.
No escape from reality.
Fuck.
Fucking is your escape from reality, Kyle?
No, fucking you can't escape reality.
Oh, shit. Damn it.
Dreams aren't real.
Speaking of macabre. Anyway.
Tell me.
I was thinking about... When a spooky old wizard, you know, maybe even just someone who wants really to be left alone... What would they do to hide? Well, I could imagine they might take their mage tower and conceal it in an illusory forest, right? So that's kind of your basis here, is that it starts out with an illusory forest. But this is high-level magic shit. These are like impeccable illusions that replicate maybe not the physical touch of a thing, but enough. They replicate the sight, smell, sound. And over time, what I could see happening is if you've got a high quality enough illusory forest, water starts to gather, animals might start coming in, being attracted by like maybe the fake mating calls of, you know, others of their species that were part of the illusion in the first place. And over time, an ecosystem could actually start growing and creating an actual forest inside or intermeshed with the illusionary one, the illusory one. So by the end of it, over hundreds of years, because this wizard is incredibly long lived, or maybe they died and the illusion just kept going, you've now got this magical forest that is half real and half illusion. But the illusion is so good, it's impossible to tell visually what's what.
The fuck? That's cool.
How you get there? Like, I understand the weak point is like the how does the real forest start to grow? But and I'm putting a lot of emphasis on like shade and rain and animals coming in and like it needs time to work.
Yeah. I think it's like you can hand wave some of it, but you could the idea of like okay, so let's say that there was like it's not. Complete bereft of any nature when it starts.
No.
There's like a pond and like a tree or two.
Yeah. Where it's or like a field or maybe it's a farm or something or an orchard. Right. Like
and then you have all the wildlife. You will create the conditions through that and maybe like there's enough grass to be eaten by them.
So that when they come in, like if a pack of deer from nearby gets attracted by the sound of other deer, the smell of food, that it's fake, but they think it's real. And so they go
just,
in.
Like, you bring in enough people, like you bring in enough of these animals and you get a population of like, then the wolves start coming and then like the pond is providing enough of a water source. And then
so
like,
just,
and then like one of that like resilience that you get in, right. in an ecosystem that it will just recreate itself.
Basically.
Like, and it's like, you start from like a seed, like you've created a seed and then it's just going to grow over time with like right. the fertilizer that is a fake ecosystem.
Sped along by an illusion, by an incredibly high quality, high caliber illusion.
I think it's really cool.
And so you discuss, and it's a great, like the Wizard's Tower is a great destination. It's like maybe there's a magic item that a party needs to go, but you have to go through and you hit a patch going in that is incredibly real. And then you start stumbling and falling because it's all you hit in a patch that's just illusion.
So like if you try and touch a tree, does it have like, do you feel bark or do you feel like nothing?
Depends if it's real or not.
Oh, yeah, because there's a mix.
They're all sort of like intertwined.
At what point does he just stop the illusion?
Well, that's why I think I think at some point it has to become self-sustaining. Like the spell is maintained by something beyond the magic user.
Yeah.
Beyond the magician. Like it's
one of those things where like, as I'm thinking about it being like a coexist where you have the real one and the illusory one.
Yeah.
At a point, it's like, so like say like you're playing a D&D campaign and you enter that forest, it's just indulgent world building from the DM, yeah. but it's really fun for those of us who enjoy that. Like the players would be like, who cares?
Right. It's not going to have any impact on gameplay or anything.
Yeah. Like you could run through this tree, but are you going to risk it every time?
Or you could think, oh, I run through the past three trees. I'm going to keep running. And then you hit a real tree and take, you know,
it could work. It could,
one blood.
The only way I can think of it working as like a mechanic is like, a combat where you are trying to climb a tree that doesn't exist, so you can't climb, or the enemy tries to jump from the tree that they're on to your tree and they find out that like your tree's not there, you're levitating because you cast levitate, but they don't know that,
right?
Like you can fuck around with that a little, like in a combat, but like that seems like also kind of a stretch.
But it's also,
it's just like I want to see what can we do with it that like, what happens. If you build the forest, you stop the magic, what do you do now? Do you do it again? Do you, like, what do you do with this technology? Like, how do you take it further? Because it's really cool magic. And now that you've seen what happened, like, that wizard's gotta be like, that's fucking cool. What do I do with this?
I don't know. I'm not even sure if the wizard is still alive. I don't think that part matters.
Oh, like, yeah, he'd probably be dead.
But
if he's a wizard, like, let's say he's like 300 years old.
They could be very long-lived. I don't... It's also a very funny sort of analog for AI art where you've got to check to see, like, you know, it's like you have got always, they say always look at the hands.
Yeah.
Like, do the hands have eight fingers
yeah.
or something? Sort of like that. It's like, does the tree actually have roots? Like, are there two trees growing out of the center? Like, you sort of got to look for it.
Yeah.
And so maybe there is a way to tell, but you've just got to sort of figure it out. Yeah. I hadn't quite thought about that part of it yet, but if you could figure out a way to do this, I think druids would probably be pretty pissed.
Or would the druids be really intrigued, because they'd say
maybe it's a way of terraforming,
because the druids
parts, maybe
the druids might say, well, fuck, we got to figure that out. And then maybe the druids start like trying to develop this magic themselves, because then they can terraform.
Yeah,
they can terraform passively.
Yeah.
Because they can walk away.
Yeah.
They can just set it and forget it. So it might actually be really important.
Could be.
Druids might be really intrigued. I
thought about that.
Because you just added nature. You created nature that didn't exist. You are a friend to druids.
Yeah. Yeah, could do that. You do need some base level of like greenery, basically, to get it going. But beyond that, as long as you've got those right conditions, could be fun. Could be fun.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Microwave.
Press start, Kyle. Brown. That's your beep noise?
So, do you remember in...
The 21st night of September.
Was it Batman Begins, that weapon that they had that just like...
Oh, the microwave emitter?
Yeah, that just like evaporated all the water.
I love the microwave emitter. People shit on it. I'm like, nah, that's great. I fucking love it. It's
so fantastic. A forest that does that. If you walk in the forest, it's like, take the vampiric idea from before.
Yeah.
It like through the atmosphere sucks the water out of your body.
Ah, that's cool.
So like, not super fast, slow.
Yeah.
But like, you will get thirstier while you're in the forest because it only absorbs through the air. It doesn't like its roots like are incredibly shallow and don't like grab water.
That's
it's
cool.
Like water sources exist there.
Yeah.
But like once it they're consuming from that, but they're also consuming from anything else.
Sure.
So if you enter and you're nearby, you're a closer water source. They're like, well, I'm gonna fucking take from you.
Yeah.
So you actually, while you're in the forest, the best thing to do is like stay next to the water because there the trees would just continue to drink from the water and not you. But anywhere else in the forest, you will start being drunk from.
I like that. So if that's very cool.
So if you enter the forest, like say you're like a D&D party, you enter the forest, you start giving levels of exhaustion and you don't know why.
Yeah.
You just become dehydrated.
That's great.
Because the forest is drinking from you.
10 out of 10.
All right.
10 out of 10.
What's yours?
Gigantic caves full of mushroom forests.
Easy.
And I think cool... Like
different. And not underground. You just mean like a, it's actually just in one big cave.
It could be in one big cave. It could lead to an underground city, like an Underdark, if you wanted to do it that way. Sort of like, you know, the Black Reach in Skyrim with the glowing mushrooms and things like that. But I think just having like,
it's like through like a mountain.
Yeah.
Like
just I'd like that more too. Than it's like, it doesn't go underground. Underdark.
Just, yeah. Cause then you're just like, that feels too similar. But if it's like, you could just walk right in, you don't walk down, you just walk straight.
Yeah.
You just walk straight into this mushroom forest. Like, oh shit.
Cause it's just dark and murky and warm and good for mushroom grown environments. And there are all sorts of different environments and some are tall like trees and some are maybe, you know, short like maitake and they're kind of the grass, right? Like, and you've got just all, but it's all mushrooms. Mushrooms all the way down.
Cool. All right.
What stuck for you, my friend?
I think your idea is great and that whole thing sticks, but nothing within it in particular sticks out. I think it's just the whole idea is really good.
The illusory side of it.
Yeah. I think the specifics that stick out to me, I think it's the vampiric fruit.
Yeah, the vampiric fruit is what's doing it for me.
It's really like, cool. It's really specific. And then I think
it's like, you got to be careful how much of it you eat. And
And it's that like, I really like the relationship that we built between that village and the forest.
Yeah. And the basis that it sets up for like societal growth. That's you know, and I think for me, the office worker pricking their finger is just something that'll stay stuck in my head for a while.
I think the implications of it are huge.
Yeah.
Because it involves humans where it's like the implications of your idea are like,
It's more gamified. It's more like...
It's a very fun story.
Yeah.
It doesn't... Like, it's like a very fun historical reality for a place, but it doesn't continue to affect it.
Not really.
Unless you enter it while it's still illusory.
Right.
And that can be fun.
Right.
To enter an illusory forest. Like, all this is fake, except the animals are real.
Right.
Like, that's cool.
Right.
But then like a... But then the forest actually growing, it's like,
is real.
Like, that's really cool from the past, but,
yeah.
But you can't really continue to interact with it in the same way.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So what stuck for you?
For me, it's the vampiric fruit and the like I said, the office worker pricking their finger. Like, I like, it's one of my favorite things about urban fantasy is like mundane. How mundane can we make the supernatural?
Yeah.
That's my favorite. It's like lightning benders and Korra fueling car batteries. Like,
yeah,
how can we take these things that feel so special and make them so not?
Yeah,
like, and that's hard because it's hard to push the limits of our imagination. Like, there's this great once again, Overly Sarcastic Productions has a great episode called "Those Dang Phones," and they trace sort of like the history of communications technology throughout speculative fiction, and they keep pointing out that no one really thought of like the implications of technology and what it could be used for in the time that it was created. So like the concept of video phones created in Star Trek, no one thought about how they would actually maybe be used like the way that we have phones now, or like tricorders, the way that we would use them now for day-to-day quick, fast communication.
Yeah.
They still had to go like back to the phone because that was what their brain thought of.
Yeah.
Right. Very similarly, they talk about in D&D, the sending spell, how when people made that, people didn't think, oh, you could just use that for like cell phones, like full conversations pretty much.
Yeah.
And how game breaking that spell actually could potentially be.
Yeah.
And instead, they were like, oh, we just made this spell. And then
we treat it like a cell phone in the modern game.
Basically, yeah. And so I think that's really interesting. And the vampiric fruit is another great example of that. It's like, how mundane will this supernatural thing become? That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
For me.
All right. Well, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Adios.